We're live, so we'll have Pastor Cox share a message with us.
All right, praise God. Would you pray with me before we go on? Let's pray. Lord God, we praise you, and we ask you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit on my words, on our hearts, on our minds, that we might hear today what you would have us hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Do not be afraid. That's what Paul heard. That's what I just heard you saying in that children's message, too. Do not be afraid. Praise God. And you know what Paul was afraid of? Or he might have been afraid of? He was going to people he had never gone to before. He was reaching out to the Gentiles. Right? Well, that wasn't the first time that anybody reached out to the Gentiles, but it was a huge historic moment. You've been working your way through the whole book of Acts, right? That's what I've heard. And in an earlier time of Acts, in chapter, 11, we have Peter. Remember the apostle, the disciple, Peter? He had a vision that was about the Gentiles too. You might not remember it, so I'm going to tell you a teeny bit of the story for Peter. Peter had this vision. And, wait a minute, vision? Do you have visions? When I hear about a vision, and when you hear about a vision, do you start thinking, oh, we're talking Bible talk? Not like me. I don't experience that. What's that about? Well, Peter had not experienced this either. This was a shock. Now, can you imagine you had a vision this morning before coming to church? You'd probably be sitting there like, am I going crazy? What do I make of this? What does it mean? That's what Peter was going through. Here's what his vision was. His vision, all of a sudden, he saw a sheet coming down from the sky filled with animals. And they were all the wrong animals, because he, as a Jew, wasn't supposed to eat just any animal. There were certain animals he couldn't eat, and they were all in that sheet. And God came to him in the vision and said, eat. And he said, no, I can't do that. And then it happened again. And again, three times it happened, and then the vision was over. And he was probably like you would be if you had a vision before coming to church, thinking, I'm going nuts. I don't know what to do about this. What does it mean? He didn't understand it until a stranger came to his door. Those strangers were Gentiles. And Jewish people were not allowed to deal with Gentiles. Matter of fact, it wasn't something they wanted to do. It was a big division in society in the time of Jesus and Peter and the first disciples between us and them. Those people who we just don't talk to. Those people who we frankly don't care about. That's what the Gentiles were to the Jews. And so when Peter had this happen, he also felt there was something. The stranger was at the door, and he felt a deep conviction in his heart that he describes like this. In verse 12, Peter says, the Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between us and them. Peter was learning something profound that day. It was simple. A lot of profound things are simple insights. He was learning it. He was being called to care for them. Does that still happen? Are we called to care for them, to step beyond the people we know? I'm going to tell you another true story as well from a little more recent. I get to teach sometimes about Islam, because that's something I have learned about Muslims. So I've taught seminary. I've worked with Muslims for 20-some years in many different countries, including America. And so I get to teach classes on Islam. I get to do that tonight here. So that's cool. But about a year and a half ago, I was teaching in Minnesota. And what I love to teach people is a very simple thing, how to say hi to a Muslim. You could say hi in many ways. You can just say hi. But if you say salam alaikum, there's a way in which the Muslim kind of perks up, because it's how you say hello in a ritual way that is traditional for Muslims, even if they don't speak Arabic. So I had taught this group that. And there was an administrator from a high school who was in the class. Her name was Brenda. She went back to school on Monday. And three Somali Muslim girls with veils were standing in the school, and she noticed them for the first time. This was a stranger to her. She didn't really pay attention to him before. And she thought, Pastor Doug said, say salamu alaikum. I'll try it. So she went to these three girls, and she said, salamu alaikum. And they looked at her, and one of the girls just looked at her, just stone-faced, said, where'd you learn that? And Brenda said, well, my pastor taught me, said it was a good thing to do, and I'm interested in learning more about you. And she and the Muslim girl looked again and said, I thought Christians hated Muslims. And Brenda said, no, we don't hate Muslims. I don't know a lot about Islam, but I'd like to learn. Every day for a week, those three girls came to Brenda and said, oh, I like the dress you're wearing. Or look, you did something different with your hair today. You know what they were doing? They were connecting because she said hi. An ordinary action in the hands of God can become an extraordinary bridge in this world. An ordinary action, like answering the door for Peter, like saying hello to them, whoever them is, at school, at work, in your family, in your neighborhood. Ordinary actions can be extraordinary bridges in this world. You know what? I am here today to celebrate, actually. I'm here to celebrate something you're doing as a church in terms of an ordinary action. How many of you have had water since you woke up this morning? Did you drink anything? Me too. We had water. That's kind of ordinary in our world, right? But look at all this. All these water jugs are symbolizing the water you're giving away, that you're making possible in a place actually almost on exact opposite side of the world from here. It's kind of a big us and them thing because you don't know the names of the people who are going to benefit from this water. You've never seen them, probably. You've been getting beyond your typical circle to do something ordinary. It is going to be extraordinary. I gotta show you a picture. Let's look at the picture from Madagascar. Here is a picture of a village in Madagascar. Looks kind of fun, doesn't it? I mean, yay! We got a beautiful palm tree. It's kind of exotic looking, I think. I lived in Madagascar as a missionary for about 6 years, and so I worked in villages like this as well as many places in the country. And it is wonderful. There's an awful lot of good. But let's look at the next picture. Is a picture of a group of kids in a village, not the same village, but a village much closer to the village you're going to serve, with water. These kids also have an awful lot of joy in their life. There's an awful lot of good stuff going on. But you can tell, probably, without shoes and the clothing that they're wearing, that they are poor. They don't have a lot of money. The bellies that you see, it's not because they eat too much. They're bloated because they're malnourished. They're starved. Their bodies are not working right, and so those tummies get bloated. So that's one of those telltale signs of malnutrition. This village is in the region where the water you're empowering is. But the exact town where this water is going, this next picture has a picture of kids who have really severe malnutrition related to water. Oh, I'm sorry, that's one. Well, I got ahead of myself, but that's a good picture. This is a terrifying one. The other one was drinking dirty water, a puddle. This is a picture of the result of either not having the nutrition that comes from the food that enough water gives, or from drinking dirty water and it gives you diarrhea. And then it all runs through you. And so you don't get anything out of whatever little you get to eat. And pretty soon your body kind of uses up anything that's in it. Starts eating the fat. If you don't have any fat, then it starts eating the muscle. And really severe malnutrition looks like this. And that's in Izeta in Madagascar. That's the name of the place where you're sponsoring a well. Praise God. An ordinary action can have an extraordinary benefit. It's huge. It really is huge. I want to look at the next slide even, so you don't have to look at that too long. But this is the Lutheran Hospital in Azeta. And I would love to be able to say it's a bright spot, which it is. It's a bright spot in a place that has a lot of need. Praise God. But last August, which is not so very long ago, so just before the school year, a doctor visiting there took this picture, the next one. And that is the only source of clean water at that time in that hospital. That wasn't much. That wasn't much. Not enough to run a hospital. And there was an awful lot of problem with sanitation, which your church, right here, you, sponsored a sanitation renovation there. So septic tank was cleaned out and redone. We got toilets cleaned out so that instead of boarding up the bathroom so you don't get infected by walking by it, you can actually now use it. And it doesn't even smell. Not much. So it's amazing. Amazing. Ordinary actions having extraordinary things. This is huge in terms of people's health. What does that have to do with why we're here in church? Does people's health have anything to do with our faith? Oh my goodness, yes. Yes, it does. And partly because God cares about your body too. But I have to tell you one last true story. I can't tell you stories all day. Well, I could, but you wouldn't want to hear them. But I got to tell you one more story anyway. When I lived in the north of Madagascar, I would go to villages, and I worked, I already told you, I teach a little bit about Islam. I was there working with Muslims. That was my purpose, to consult with the Lutheran Church there on Islam and working with Muslims. So we would go to villages where there were, 90 to 100% Muslim villages, and I worked with healthcare providers. So I was traveling one day with a doctor and a couple of nurses. And we had just gone to do what we needed to do, and we were on our way back, a long journey, and we did a bypass, different route, because the doctor said over in that village there, it would be a good location for a new clinic. We've been researching. This is the place to serve this population. But of course, we have to ask permission, see if they would be open to this. So the place you start is with the elder, the oldest or most respected person in the village, in this case, the mayor. So the doctor was a little nervous. 100% Muslim village. We're Christians. They don't necessarily know us at all. And so the doctor approached the mayor and said, "We are from the Lutheran healthcare system. We'd love to partner with you and bring a clinic into your village. Would you be open to that?" And he looked at her with a stern face, and then he smiled. And he said, "Where the Lutherans go, the village develops. Come on in." Praise God. Amen. Let's praise God for God's word. You know, that is really the reputation you want for what you do. That it's good for people without condition. And that it's somehow because you're a Christian that you're doing that. And it might just cause people to do what 1 Peter 3:15 says that you ought to be ready for. 1 Peter 3:15 is a very simple verse, but it's probably, I don't know if it's my favorite verse in the Bible, but I'll take it today as my favorite for today. It says, "Always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have in Christ Jesus." If I can help somebody live by answering the door to a stranger, if I can help somebody have greater life, By saying hello across prejudice, across mutual fears. If I can help somebody's life by somehow making water available to their body, and they see that and might ask me, "Why do you care?" Because Jesus does. It's a witness to the hope that I have. And do they have to be a Christian? No. No. That's not a condition. Jesus didn't wait to be converting anybody to love him. I'm sure grateful. Because you know what? When Jesus died on the cross for me, I was not a Christian. I wasn't even born. And Jesus loves you without condition and everybody in this world. And you're a part of telling that story with water today. Thank you. May God bless you and give you boldness, because your ordinary actions will become extraordinary bridges in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.